listening to the Not Takes Fantasy Football Podcast.
Welcome, everybody, to the Not Takes Fantasy Football Podcast. We're going to do one of our big shows again where we're going to go through the full week four recap. We'll go over some real or fake performances from week four, look at the scoring leaders, and then start peeking ahead to week five. So, as always, you're joined by your hosts, Bob and Dan. Dan, what's going on, buddy?
What up, Bob? What a big difference from one week to another, right? I mean, last week we had some of our lowest fantasy scores of the season, of this young season. We're only five games into this thing. And this week, I think it would be fair to say there were some real explosions this week, Bobby.
Yeah, unless if you ask my brother.
True.
Yeah, because I kept rubbing it into him. I said, how does it feel to see that everybody's exploding and you're not even going to put up 100?
Well, you have that, and then you had, you know, Brad going for less than 100 to Big Steve going for nearly 300 fantasy points. That's outrageous.
Yeah.
Outrageous.
Yeah, it was freaking nuts. And like, even in our matchup, I was like, I'm pretty happy with 150, but it wasn't even in the ballpark. Kidding. It's like, wow, right. It's just one of those weeks. So yeah, Dan, the last of the undefeated in our league of record. How's it feel?
Bittersweet, my friend, after I looked at the bye weeks that I had coming up and saw a nice big Q right next to David Johnson's name and, you know, some not so good news about his potential availability this week in Atlanta.
Yeah, I sort of got bit by it too with Evan Engram, which facilitated a trade to sacrifice some running back depth to not have to hit the waiver wire. So, yeah, it's just it's really not becoming survival anymore. You either need to make moves and get ahead of the curve, or once these injuries start piling up, man, that waiver wire is getting ugly. So it's
getting nasty. And it's getting – I mean, there's been – geez, just so many injuries so far this season. And frankly, I was thinking today that I have to credit much of my start to the fact that I have not had to deal with a major injury yet, where several teams out there have had to kind of shuffle around, you yourself included, losing Tyreek Hill at the beginning of the season, have had to kind of play behind a little bit and make some moves that maybe you would not have otherwise considered making had you had Tyreek Hill available.
Yeah, I'm just super fortunate to even be looking at 4-1, honestly, because once Tyreek went down and then Big Ben went down, which directly impacted Juju, I was very nervous. So even if I lose again this week, to be 4-2 with Tyreek Hill hopefully getting back, I'll take it at this point. I just need to
that's a real beaut.
Survive the tidal wave that's happening right now. So, but yeah, speaking of the big explosions that happened, are you ready to go ahead and do the full week four recap?
Absolutely.
Yeah, looking back at week four, we're going to start all the way back on Thursday. Another pretty fun Thursday night game where the Seahawks beat the Rams 30-29. And I know for the first seven games we've got, we're going to sort of follow the cadence that we did last week where we're just going to ask one overall question for the game instead of going through and naming all the players. So Dan's going to give questions for the first seven. So Dan, what's your question or comment coming out of the Thursday night game?
Well, I guess I did one for each team, but I think that we can do both of these because they're pretty quick hitters. So I think in Seattle, I think what they're really searching for is maybe a true number one. Is it Tyler Lockett? Is it DJ Metcalf? Or is it Whistlin Disley? Is that the best receiving option on that team right now? Bob, out of those three, who I think really are the only ones who we really would have in contention, who are you looking at wanting on your squad down the stretch here?
Tyler Lockett, 100%. That catch that he made at the corner of the end zone just proves it, that he's not just a deep threat player anymore. I actually think Metcalf's taking over that role for the team. And I think Lockett, I mean, what, the previous couple of games, I think he had 14 targets, 11 targets, 10 targets, like something like that. So he's he didn't get the target share this week. It was really spread around. But if I'm going all season, it's Lockett for me.
I actually will go with, and it's not because I am an owner of him on a fantasy squad. I really like DK Metcalf. I talked about him last week, hyping him up a little bit during that game time on Thursday when he caught that long ball. I just feel like he's going to come into his own at some point this season. I don't know why, but I feel like he is the most athletic receiver on that team. And with the way that Russell Wilson's been playing MVP caliber, looking like just like the stud of old. I just think there's a lot of upside in this Seattle passing game, which I think at the beginning of the season, Bob, you and I were kind of like cooling on it a little bit. I know a lot of people were kind of cooled on Russell Wilson because you were able to grab him super late in fantasy drafts. And now, I mean, last week he had 4 touchdown passes, routinely is putting up multiple touchdowns and high yardage games, which is going to give you, I mean, he scored me 37 points last week, and that kind of set the stage for me going into this. And I know he put on quite a show for us in our dynasty league. So I really think this Seattle passing game has really come on nicely. And this week, who do they get, Bob?
Oh, who does Seattle play? You caught me off guard there this week. Cleveland.
Cincinnati.
Or no, is it Cincinnati?
No. You're right. It is Cleveland. My bad. My apologies. It is Cleveland. And I think they're just going to kind of pick up where they left off, frankly.
Yeah, and the Cleveland just got decimated, which we'll get to later. So.
Absolutely.
So what's your Rams question?
Can you – I mean, let's be honest. Jared Goff has been underperforming. You know, you should never have a 500-yard game and only score around 20 fantasy points, and in large part about the number of interceptions and turnovers you've had. I feel like he's big-time underperforming. Can you trust Goff down the stretch here as your fantasy starter? Or are you looking at someone like Jacoby Brissett, perhaps?
In that regard, I'd still say Goff, but it's one of those situations where I'm sort of probably peeking the waivers out and just seeing exactly what's out there. I don't really have much of Goff in really any of my leagues. I'm trying to even think where I would have a piece of him. But, I mean, if we look at their schedule, so let me go ahead and pull it up here because I know... sorry, as I'm waiting for it to load, of course, because I was looking at this for Gurley earlier. They get the 49ers, which looks like a good defense, but then you get Atlanta and Cincinnati before the bye. That's that's pretty good. But then you come back from the bye and you get Pittsburgh, Chicago, Baltimore. Not so good as far as matchups are concerned, although, you know, some will say Baltimore is a little underperforming as well. But then it's Arizona, Seattle again, Dallas, San Francisco. So, I mean, looking at that, you know, I don't know if I would probably be looking somewhere else, but I'd still probably would take him over Brissett. Let's just put it that way.
Sure.
So, yeah, I don't know. It's weird because he has all the weapons he could need. You just wonder if a light's going to go off here pretty soon for him. But
it went off last season, and he was money down the line. It just looks like he's off to a very slow start. And arguably, I could say you would say that most Rams are outside of Cooper Kupp.
Yeah. Exactly. So, yeah, let's move on to the Panthers beating the Jaguars 34-27. So, what questions do you have lined up from this game?
Oh my gosh. First of all, can we say thank you, Mr. McCaffrey? You've done it yet once again, my friend. Unbelievable game. I mean, if you have a piece of this guy in fantasy, you have just got to have a smile on your face every Sunday, because I know you and I routinely are testing each other through these Panthers games saying, CMC, CMC, there goes McCaffrey. I mean, it's just one of those things. It's just that this guy is fantasy gold. He was our MVP last season. It looks like he's just picking right up where he left off, Bob. Just a spectacular game.
And the sad part is that it's probably going to go to one of the quarterbacks, but I mean, he's a legit MVP candidate outside of fantasy. Like,
absolutely.
He's so ridiculous.
almost 200 yards, 176, two touchdowns, and then the touchdown through the air with multiple catches. I mean, the guy is averaging, you sent me the stat today, roughly 200 yards from scrimmage and a touchdown. It's insane. It's insane.
Yep.
I mean, they're monster fantasy numbers. But in terms of the Panthers, I think we can – you would say that outside of Mr. McCaffrey, there's just not been very much there offensively. Specifically, the passing game I think has been underperforming as well. We've seen some news that Cam Newton is back at practice, didn't have the walking boot on, looks close to returning. So two guys that you and I both were pretty big on going into the season, Samuels and DJ Moore, could see an uptick in productivity. Any interest in these guys pinching them off the waiver wire if they were dropped for underperformance, or maybe inserting them into your lineup if Cam is back in there?
Yeah, I've been holding Samuel just because I just want to wait until Cam does get back and healthy. So I'm holding them and just waiting. I don't think I've played Samuel since week two, but I'm holding on just in case. So, I mean, I don't think it's somebody that you drop because he's going to get picked. Him or Moore will definitely get picked back up. But if you have other options, I could see waiting it out until Cam's healthy, if at all possible. And thankfully, I'm lucky that I have the capability to sort of wait him out a little bit.
Yeah, I had high hopes for DJ Moore going into this season. You for Samuel. I think that Cam injury has kind of thrown it off. But also the emergence of kind of receiving options that were on no one's radar, like the man-eating shark. What a week he had. And yeah. Here's a quick hitter for you, Bob. Can you trust Gardner Minshew as your fantasy starter going down the line?
I've been chewing on this one for a little bit.
You've been Minshewing on it, Bob.
Yeah, I mean, listen to his schedule, and then, you know, the question is, does Nick Foles come back in and sort of take back over? New Orleans Saints this week, somewhat tough, and then the Bengals, then the Jets, then the Texans, then the bye.
That's a nice three-game stretch if you're looking for some QB help for sure.
Yeah, so, yes, for the foreseeable future, I do trust in him. I don't see – well, to me, he's the definition of a great streaming option if you're sick of your quarterback. So, yeah, I do believe in him. And
I'm going to give you a real-time update right now. I've had Baker Mayfield in my starting lineup in a league for the last 3 weeks, and I've gotten sick of him. So I'm in the process right now of picking up Minshew, and I'm going to throw him in there because I love that streaming option for the next couple of weeks for sure.
Throw him in and just chew on the goodness.
So, I will Minshew to do that.
So let's move on to a game where I feel like this is becoming a trend for the Steelers. They lose to the Ravens 26-23 in overtime. This is a team that in theory should have three wins right now. And now
absolutely.
They're 1-4. So what's your questions coming out of this game?
I think the big question, frankly, for me is Lamar Jackson. Two questions. Lamar Jackson has been so hot lately, and then comes into this game, throws three picks.
He's been somewhat cool the past two games, actually.
Right. But here we have a game in which they're playing
the Bengals.
I mean, if you need a shot of adrenaline in your fantasy season, you just make sure you play anyone who's playing the Bengals, because they're like the Miami Dolphins of the AFC North. Let's just say it that way. So any concern for him? This should be a huge bounce back game.
Yeah.
If he doesn't perform here, I don't know if we've got flashes in the pan here, Bob.
Yeah, if he doesn't perform here, I'll be stunned, honestly. And that's another reason why I sort of said earlier I'd be okay being 4-2, because the team I'm playing this week has Lamar Jackson in the lineup, and it's against the Bengals. So I'm expecting a total explosion this week. So if he doesn't, then, yeah, I'm starting to get concerned, because this should be a blow-up spot right here.
For sure. And on the Steelers side of things, big injury, man, I think both of us can say very happy to hear that Mason Rudolph is back up and around.
Right.
Probably still in the protocol because that hit was vicious.
Oh, yeah. He's already out. So it's Devlin Hodges this week.
So, I mean, this week you get a not too stellar Chargers defense. I mean, let's say Joe Flacco just did some things against them. Do you have any confidence in any Steeler pass catcher this week? And another big injury, Jalen Samuels out multiple weeks with a knee injury. What are your thoughts on James Conner, not only this week, but going forward from here, considering how much considering they're on their third string quarterback? So if I'm a defense, I'm loading up against the run. What's the kind of the fantasy impact there of those multiple injuries and things like that?
Yeah, I mean, Connor's just going to get all the work he can handle. I mean, so one thing you got to hope for is opportunity, and he's going to get all of it. Now, they do go on a bye in 2 weeks, so obviously you're going to be without him there. But you just have to pray and hope that the line can create holes for him. But he's going to get all the work he can handle, and that's all you can really ask for sometimes is the ability to get all the work like that. Now, as far as the passing game is concerned, I don't know if this gives any insight on where I sort of stand at. Is I just made a trade in our league of record today where I needed to protect against Evan Engram probably being out this week, and it's really a crap matchup anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And so I packaged Juju and Miles Sanders for Delanie Walker and Michael Gallup. I just think Michael Gallup could have a higher upside when he's healthy.
So right.
I'll trust in Dak over Devlin Hodges or Mason Rudolph and hope that, you know, just Gallup can stay healthy, because what you got out of Juju is probably the best you're going to get. And it's not his skill level, because I thought he could be one of the best wide receivers in the league this year. But when you're down to the third, and I mean, in theory, you could even think of him as a fifth string, fourth string, because they traded Josh Dobbs. So
right.
I tried to like get myself away from this offense, as sad as it is to say. And then, so that tells you what I think.
Yeah, I think at this point, I think you're just kind of hoping for the best. James Washington's hurt. I think the lone bright spot has kind of been Deontay Johnson lately. But with the injury to Mason Rudolph, and I thought Mason Rudolph was coming along fine. I am excited to kind of see where he goes this season. Hopefully he can make it back from the concussion protocol at some point. But who even knows? Like, that was a massive hit. I mean, he was knocked out on the field. We've got the bye week, Steelers bye week coming up next week, but still at the same time, I mean, that was a brutal hit. You get knocked out cold on the field. Like, I don't know if that's just one of those 1 week injuries where you're going to be able to come back and even aside of the bye week. So who knows how long we're looking at Hodges. And to me, the Steelers offense without Big Ben is just not the same. They were throwing the ball downfield a little bit more with Mason Rudolph. But even last week, you just did not see the same level of pass catching that you expect to see out of a Steelers offense. They're doing a lot of more tricky plays with the Wildcat and all this other stuff. So they're changing it up. But I agree with you. I think it's a huge downgrade for all offensive weapons on the Steelers. Even I think Connor is downgraded, frankly, because you can just load up against the run. You just better hope the Steelers offensive line can open up a hole for him here or there. I'd almost feel like the volume makes him an attractive running back candidate, but I just don't know if the rest of the offense is going to be able to hum along with just James Conner as the main weapon.
Right. Yep, I agree with that. So next game on our docket, Bills 14, Titans 7. What are your questions coming out of that game?
I mean, do you even really want to talk about it?
Not really.
I mean, I'll be honest with you, Mike. One question I said is, I feel like the best fantasy asset right now in Buffalo is the defense. Like, the defense is consistently great. Nobody on the offensive side of things. Josh Allen was for a little bit interesting, but I thought he would have been better against the Titans. I think outside of Frank Gore, there's not really much there unless maybe Devin Singletary comes back from injury, but that hamstring seems pretty nagging on him, Bob.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I don't really have many pieces of this offense. Just Josh Allen in our dynasty league, really. So
right. And on the other side of the ball, I think the biggest news is the kicker change up. But man, that offense is brutal too. I think Delanie Walker is probably the most trustworthy pass catching option. But even then, you don't know which Marcus Mariota, which is the theme of this Titans offense. You don't know which Mariota is showing up. It's either the one who can throw for 4 touchdowns or the one who doesn't even throw for 1 and nearly 100 yards. I mean, it's just one of those things. It's one of the biggest puzzles outside. Again, whereas outside of Gore, there's not really much there. Outside of Derrick Henry, is there anything, maybe Delanie Walker, that you have any fantasy interest in, Bob?
No. It's Derrick Henry and Delanie Walker, and even Delanie Walker is a little nerve-wracking too, but I put my faith in him just because I didn't want to go towards the waivers, honestly. But
for sure.
I think Delanie, yeah, actually we're going to be talking about him in Real or Fake, so we'll get more into him then. So another game where it's like, there's not really much that I think you can talk about. The Patriots beat the Redskins 33-7. So what do you got coming out of this one?
Well, I mean, I think we finally saw a Sony Michel sighting. He nearly gets 100 yards. The news off the Roto World is that he went out for the most passes that he's ever done in the Patriots offense. So I think you really got to see what it would be like with Sony Michel as your main man. Right. Now you're already seeing Rex Burkhead is now practicing again. Brandon Bolden was involved in this game as well. But with the spectacular game, and I get it, it's the Redskins that Sony Michel had this week. Do you think that it's about time that the Patriots kind of say, hey, you know what? We've got a lead back here. Let's just keep feeding Sony the ball. And we've got a legit true RB1 in New England. Or is it going to be more of the same there, Bob?
More of the same. They would have done it already. I mean, the schedule's been so easy that they would have done this already. So, I mean, simply put, I think it's just going to be all the same. Could he get more work? Sure. But is it going to be like a dominant workload type? No, I don't believe that's going to be the case.
It's frustrating to be a Sony Michel owner for sure.
Oh yeah, big time. Because you hope for matchups like this to play out this way. If not, you're going to be possibly struggling for answers at the end. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, I'd rather not deal with it. But if you deal with it, I mean, you just got to hope that you pick the right matchup for him.
No doubt.
Yep. Redskins, nothing. Just.
Oh, actually, yeah. So, I mean, they got rid of the coach.
Yeah.
So there's only one Gruden in the league now. And funny enough, if you saw that the guy who replaced Gruden when he left for Tampa Bay is the same guy who now replaces Jay Gruden when he leaves the Redskins. But the big story now is that they are – again, not willing to declare who the quarterback is, which I do not understand that. Just give Haskins the ball.
Yeah, in my right.
opinion, just give Haskins the ball. But they said that there's going to be a new emphasis on running the ball, which at this point, because Geis is still injured and will probably be for the rest of the NFL history of the league. But now it's AP. AP's the true number one. I don't think there's anybody else there. I get that people want to talk themselves into Chris Thompson, but I mean, he's been largely absent from any kind of talk of fantasy relevance. Any interest in AP going into this week, Bob?
Into this week, sure. Outside of that, no, because I mean, he gets probably the best matchup on paper, but. You know, I'm not going to blow the budget on him because listen to what he gets after this. So Miami, yeah, that's probably a very good matchup to use him. San Francisco, which looks to be a stout defense. Minnesota, Buffalo, bye. So,
yikes.
Yeah.
You got one good week from him pretty much because those other defenses are freak nasty.
Yeah, that's why I continue to hold on to Chris Thompson in multiple leagues because he's just going to get the pass catching work. So. Yeah, so that's why and I'm not even excited about that. Like I said, I had to trade depth at my running back to not go to the waivers. So I've sort of got to look into it, but I don't think I'm gonna spend anything on AP on the waivers, even for the 1 week rental there. So Next game.
I hear you.
Next game. This one was a surprise. The Raiders beat the Bears 24-21. What questions do you have coming out of that game?
First of all, I think Allen Robinson has had a huge game, almost 100 yards, 2 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. He was mainly the reason that they had any kind of chance of even winning this game after the putrid first half that offensive had.
Right.
Offense had. To me, it looks like Chase Daniel is just looking his way nonstop.
Right.
So for the foreseeable future, Trubisky's out. What are your thoughts on Allen Robinson as a not an RB, not a wide receiver one, but a legit wide receiver two down the stretch until potentially Trubisky comes back?
Yeah, I think that's fair because he's really the only weapon. I mean, right now on the offense that you can trust. You know, we keep waiting for David Montgomery, and it just hasn't happened yet. So, yeah, I would say I think you could treat Robinson as a wide receiver too moving forward. I think that's a fair bet to put out there.
And frankly, I wish I would have played him this week. I put my eggs in the basket of Marquez Valdez-Scantling, and it burnt me hard again. I don't understand what it is with that guy. When you're the true number one, you're underperform. So I think you could probably start him with confidence in your fantasy lineup going forward. I'm intrigued by Allen Robinson. I'm glad I got him late where I am, and I'm glad I got him on the squad, frankly.
Right.
On the side of the Raiders, Josh Jacobs finally had his coming out party, put it up some big time numbers.
Yep.
And I think you would agree that this is kind of what Gruden envisions for his offense. Everything kind of flows through the running back. And they did this against the vaunted Chicago defense with Tyrell Williams injured. Now they've brought Zay Jones in. I mean, is this finally what you expected out of Jacobs? And are you confidently starting him as an RB1 going forward at this point?
As a high-end RB2, yes, which is like right on that borderline. But yeah,
right.
He's going to get all the work that he can handle. I don't really see anybody else taking away from that. Now, once he comes back from the bye, he does have a difficult matchup in Green Bay. But then it's Houston, Detroit, the Chargers, Cincinnati. I like the schedule on the back half of it. So yeah, I would definitely trust him moving forward, especially in this this type of offense where Gruden wants to run the ball. I like him a lot moving forward.
Yeah, he's a very intriguing young player. I mean, I think there are a lot of people who can in your dynasty formats where you're gonna invest in guys long term. If you had a number one pick, I think a lot of the times this guy was the consensus number one, and then Montgomery, guys like Miles Sanders and stuff like that. Whereas last season, you had a lot of these rookie running backs coming in and making big impacts right away. So far, it looks like Jacobs is only the one who's kind of living up to that first round hype, Bob.
Yeah, he looks really solid to me. I like what I'm seeing out of him. And then, Dan, the last one, I know you set up questions for the Eagles destroy the Jets 31-6. So what do you have coming out of that game?
My big question for you, Bob, is Jordan Howard. Like, did I specifically just read this situation completely wrong? I mean, you've got stories coming out on RotoWorld from the head coach saying, hey, Jordan Howard is working himself into the lead back position. He outperformed Miles Sanders this week. It looks like he's getting a lot more work outside of just the goal line stuff that he used to get in Chicago. Is this the Josh Howard that you're expecting? Because I know last week we're saying there's no way he's scoring as much as he did this week. He paid it forward this week again. He had a great game, a nice fantasy game. Are you trusting Jordan Howard going forward after back-to-back high-quality weeks and fantasy performances, Bob?
I think you almost have to. I mean, it was never good. It never looked good, but he ended up being at least a high-end running back too in Chicago. And now it looks like they're starting to refocus their efforts to getting him involved on the ground game. Now, Miles Sanders is still going to be there, and he's still going to get the work out of the backfield as far as pass catching. But, I mean, I don't think they'll ever get to the point where there just is one running back leading the way for the team. But if I get the guy that's going to get the critical goal line type carries, give me touchdowns all day, you know, if I'm going to get that opportunity. So I think you have to. I think we might just have overlooked him and devalued his big blow up game. And
right
now it's returned to the norm, and the norm is still a good game, even though, you know, it's against the Jets. Yeah, but
sure.
If I'm going to get that workload, I'm interested in a player like that.
Yeah, I was surprised. There's a big part of me that wishes I had not dropped him and just kind of waited it out. But I mean, when you looked at those first 3 weeks, you basically got nothing out of them. And I think I dropped him much, much too early. I think there's going to be a time where I'm going to really regret that move during this fantasy season, frankly.
So let me ask you this. Was it just your past history with them that maybe caused you to pull the trigger a little early?
I got burned pretty good on him last year. But frankly, it was one of those things where he had not done much through the first 3 weeks. And I was happy with the running backs I had. But boy, this week, when I've got guys like Marlon Mack on the bye, and I kind of Devin Singletary on the bye, and then I was lucky enough to grab Tarik Cohen on the bye, left me a little bit short at running back this week. It sure would be nice to have Jordan Howard kind of coming in, even though he's got a tough matchup going against the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, I agree. So, Dan, I'm going to move on actually to those Vikings. They beat the Giants 28-10, and this is where I'm just going to throw out my questions here. So my question, and I'll give some stats behind it before you give your answers, is this the start of the passing game opening up for Minnesota, or was this just an easy matchup to exploit? The reason I ask this is Cousins threw the ball 27 times while the three running backs combined to rush at 31, so that's a darn near even split for a team that doesn't normally pass that much. Thielen got 8 targets, 7 receptions, 130 yards, 2 touchdowns. They do get the Eagles, which are a very beatable pass defense, the Lions, and then the Redskins in the next 3 games. So is this the start of the pass game maybe getting more involved in Minnesota?
I don't think it's necessarily the pass game getting more involved. I think it's the pass game getting back to where it was last season. I think, you know, last year Thielen was a quality fantasy option. So was Diggs, and so was Kyle Rudolph. Frankly, Kyle Rudolph has not done anything this year any fantasy
resonance. Kyle Rudolph, because I don't even know if I've noticed him yet.
Well, Bob, that's Trudolph.
Oh, the puns are getting out of control here.
But, I mean, I think this is just it finally getting back on track. So I think this – I mean, offense looks so much better when it's when there's two sides of it. When you have to worry about Thielen and Diggs, when you're running the ball – you know, and I think that opens things up for Dalvin Cook, too. Dalvin Cook had a great game last week, too, over 100 yards rushing. So I don't think that this is the reemergence of it. I think it's just the emergence of it this year. So I expect it to be good going forward. Guys like Thielen and Diggs, they've invested way too much money in them and in the quarterback Cousins for them not to throw the ball. So it's just the offensive coordinator realizing, hey, I've got all these weapons. Maybe I don't need to hand the ball off 1,000 times a game.
Yep. So let's move on to the Texans. Ooh, putting it on the Falcons, 53-32. And my question, I'll give some stats and then throw it to you. Are there any real concerns about DeAndre Hopkins, especially if Will Fuller stays healthy and gets it going? So Watson throws for 426 and 5. Fuller gets 16 targets, 14 receptions, 217 and 2 touchdowns, while DeAndre Hopkins gets 8 targets, 7 receptions, 88 yards. Now, the last 4 games for DeAndre Hopkins, 5 for 40, 6 for 67, 5 for 41, 7 for 88. Is there any concern going forward with Hopkins?
No. It's Hopkins is still the best receiver, or at least arguably, I think you can start saying, you know, there's several people you say, oh, he's the best in the league. Guys like, I mean, who had huge weeks like Thielen and Michael Thomas and things like that. But I don't think there is any concern about Hopkins. He's going to get his. It's going to turn on. And frankly, I think the people – the concern that Hopkins causes defenses is the reason why Will Fuller can go for over 200 yards and three touchdowns in a game, because he's getting single covered. I mean, he's getting single coverage and he's getting the opportunities to get open, and Watson is taking advantage of those. I think this is, frankly, Bob, what we kind of hoped this offense would become, as long as, and this is the big thing that we all have to think, as long as Will Fuller does not get hurt, does not have some kind of season-ending injury, I expect things to be this open, because now you have to worry about Will Fuller. So things are going to open up for DeAndre Hopkins. I expect him to be fine. This is a couple bad weeks, but it's still DeAndre Hopkins. He still has those high-quality, big-time fantasy games in him. I'm not worried about it. And look how good the quarterback's playing.
Yep, exactly. So next game, the Cardinals eke out a win against the Bengals 26-23. And my question is, what is the true upside of Kyler Murray moving forward? 20 for 32, 253 passing yards, no passing touchdowns. Did add another 93 yards on the ground with one touchdown. Through 5 weeks, he's 1,324 passing yards, four touchdowns, four interceptions, 28 rushes, 206 yards, two touchdowns. So I think the rushing is really going to support his floor, and he's going to throw more touchdowns. So I think the upside's very high, but what say you?
I agree, the upside's high. But I thought it would be a lot higher against the Bengals. Yep. Like, I really was banking on guys like Larry Fitzgerald, Christian Kirk, and frankly, David Johnson, who got it going again in the rushing game, almost 100 yards, but had like zero, well, very little to do in the passing game. So it's like this Jekyll and Hyde thing with David Johnson this year. He's either good rushing and terrible in the passing game, or subpar, or vice versa. But with Kyler Murray, I agree, the rushing is going to keep him a viable fantasy quarterback. But frankly, I've got real concerns about you if you cannot score one passing touchdown against the Cincinnati Bengals. That worries me. That worries me going forward about your fantasy. What kind of fantasy numbers you're going to put up? Because who doesn't score a passing touchdown against the Bengals? Come on.
Yeah, that team is just thank God they're in our division, because it makes the Steelers fan at least have some glimmer of hope that we're not going to finish
last. We at least hopefully can win two games this year.
Right. That's a sad state of affairs here in Pittsburgh. But Dan, let's move on to the Saints beating the Bucks 31-24. And I'm going straight to the Bucks side of things, because we're going to talk about some Saints in the real or fake. But do you want any pass catcher outside of Chris Godwin? Godwin went 9 targets, 7 receptions, 125 yards, 2 touchdowns. Currently the number one wide receiver in fantasy. Mike Evans, 3 targets. OJ Howard, 2 targets, 1 reception, 10 yards. I mean, I already have all the stocks in Godwin that I could have, but what say you?
I mean, I do want Mike Evans action. I've got Mike Evans action. And we talked about this in real or fake a while ago. It was one of those things. It's this coin flip. Is this a Godwin game or is it a Mike Evans game? Because sometimes it's a Mike Evans game, like it was not this week, but the week before. So I think it's one of those things where people were like, oh, don't panic on Mike Evans. And then he had that huge week where he bounced back for 3 touchdowns. I just think it's Godwin probably. I will say I think Godwin's probably the most consistent at this point. But I still want Mike Evans. I've soured a bit on OJ Howard, and that's the only other two guys. The only other two guys I really care about. I don't really care much for Cameron Brate. I would still want pieces of Mike Evans. In fact, I think people are going to get frustrated with Evans, and you can buy low on him right now, just like you could 2 weeks ago. And if he comes out and has another game like he has. Like he had again, like a huge bounce back game, you're going to be thanking yourself that you bought low on him.
Yeah,
so.
But let me ask you this: are you worried that you're not going to get any consistency in that?
You're going to get a bit of a roller coaster. Hey, I'm riding that roller coaster right now. I'm a Mike Evans owner in a dynasty league. I rolled him out last week, and I saw that goose egg. Thankfully, I had other guys pick it up. like Dalvin Cook and Cooper Kupp and things like that. But I'm willing to ride it because I think the heights will outweigh the highs will outweigh the lows when it comes to Mike Evans. He's always kind of been a little bit up and down. This down was just a really bad week. I mean, I don't think there'd be any time where you and I would be talking about fantasy football. And I said, hey, Bob, guess what? Mike Evans is going to get a goose egg today. He'd be like, no way, not even possible. It's just one of those freak happenings that you just got to kind of be like, I cannot believe that happened. And hopefully guys like McCaffrey bailed you out because of that.
I know, right? So let's move on to the Broncos beating the Chargers 20-13. And my question is, Phillip Lindsay finally going to take a stranglehold on this running back position? Here's the stats to sort of talk through. 15 rush attempts, 114 yards, one touchdown, four receptions, 33 yards. Royce Freeman only had two less carries, 13 rushes, but only 61 yards, two receptions, 6 yards. To me, the rushing attempts look like they're going to continue to be split pretty evenly, but if I'm choosing one, I think it's Lindsay bar none moving forward. What say you?
Boy, I hope so, because I just don't understand this, and they just won't quit Joe Flacco. I don't get it. It's fine. Cortland Sutton has been having some pretty nice games. I will admit that I am a Cortland Sutton owner in a dynasty league, and it's nice to see that random pick that I picked something like the second round. It's finally starting to pay off. But let's be honest here. I was watching the fantasy cast of this game, and that first drive was nothing but long runs by Phillip Lindsay. And then for some reason, it was like two series of Royce Freeman with the offense just going stagnant. And I'm thinking to myself, like, why are they giving him the ball just more? He got almost equal carries and got 100 yards and a touchdown. And it was more dynamic in the passing game. So to me, this is going to be more of the same like it was last year. A bunch of frustrated Phillip Lindsay owners that are just sitting there saying, why aren't you just making him the lead back? Why can't you just quit Royce Freeman? It's like one of those situations when you're your friend's dating somebody and you're like, she's horrible for you. Why do you keep going back to her? I don't know. There's no explanation. It just happens. The Denver Broncos just will not quit Royce Freeman. They love him for some reason, and we just can't talk them out of it.
Yeah, yeah, that's a pretty good analogy. It's pretty spot on at this point. So let's move on to the Aaron Jones. I mean, the Green Bay Packers beating the Cowboys 34-24. And where do you see Aaron Jones finishing by the end of the season? He's currently our running back number four, and it's obviously off the heels of a 19 rush, 107 yards, four touchdowns, eight targets, seven receptions, 75 yards. He basically won the game single-handedly. I don't have any concerns when Jamal Williams comes back, but where do you see him finishing end of the year?
I think he's going to be top 10. I'm not guaranteeing top five. I think the number one spot, in my opinion, is already set in stone. No one's passing McCaffrey. It's just not happening. But games like this will go a long way to getting him close into that top five. I think this was an Aaron Jones explosion. I don't think this is the Aaron Jones you're getting every single week. And I think that the Dallas defense is better than this. But frankly, I mean, they bottled him up rather well in some points of the game. But he looked so dynamic. I mean, he almost had 50 fantasy points himself. He almost had a McCaffrey day. So it's just one of those things. I think he finishes within the top 10. I would not be surprised if he's top five, but he's not going to be a top three guy for me.
Yeah, I still think he's going to be more of a running back, too. I mean, obviously, this big game is going to allow him the ability to stay in the top 10 for a while, but I like him. I mean, obviously, this is what you're hoping for. I'm just wondering if once Jamal Williams is healthy, I know I didn't say I had any concerns, but the coach seemed to like to put him in almost like the Freeman-Lindsay dynamic, so...
Right.
But yeah, I mean, obviously you have to think the sky's the limit moving forward here. And the next game, another stunner. Colts beat the Chiefs 19-13. And I'm going to go straight to the Colts side of things. Similar to Aaron Jones, where do you see Marlon Mack finishing by the end of the season? He's currently RB10, 29 rush attempts, 132 yards, three receptions, 16 yards. He dominates the Colts running back. Currently at 101 rushes, 470 yards, two touchdowns, but only seven receptions and 42 yards. So my concern with him is the limited pass catching ability. But if he's going to run like this, I think he can get away with limited pass catching.
Yeah, I have been pleasantly surprised as a Marlon Mack owner to see the type of numbers that I'm getting out of Marlon Mack. My brother-in-law is a huge Colts fan, and he was the one who said, you know what, Marlon Mack is better than advertised. That's what kind of piqued my interest on him. And he frankly has been better than advertised to a certain extent. I mean, he's had his ups and downs. He was pretty much taken out of the game last week because they had to do nothing but throw. So I think when the script is in his favor, you're going to get games like this. If they get down a bunch and Brissett's got to throw a bunch, then you're getting a lot more Nyheim Hines. So I think I'll be surprised if he stays inside the top 10. I see him as probably a top 15, top 17 guy, but he is definitely a serviceable RB2 who could give you 20 some points, you know, on a good day. And then on a bad day, he can give you two or three, frankly.
Yeah. I think he's a top 15 type running back, almost similar to Aaron Jones, like high-end RB2 to me. So, and then the last game, Dan, the 49ers destroy the Cleveland Browns 31-3. And I'm going to go to the Falcons side of things. Are you good starting both Matt Breda and Tevin Coleman moving forward? Breda, 11 for 114 and 1, 3 receptions, 15 yards, 1 touchdown. Coleman, 16 for 97, 1 touchdown. They're the best rushing offense in the league, averaging 200 rushing yards per game. I'm going to say it out front. I'm good starting both of them, but what say you?
I just feel like you're putting a lot of eggs in one basket if you're starting both of them. But if you're getting, if your basket is filled with eggs like this, fine. I mean, who am I to judge? Let's be honest. They both had spectacular games. Tevin Coleman bouncing back big time from that ankle injury. So I would say in the right matchup, playing both of them, I would feel very good about that. I don't know if I'm dropped. Like, let's say, for example, you have got you've probably got a stud like McCaffrey. Okay, let's just say this is your team build, hypothetically speaking. You've got McCaffrey, and then you've got a guy like Marlon Mack, for example. And then you've got Tevin Coleman, and you're lucky enough to grab Breda. Is there going to be a point in which you say, you know what? Hypothetically speaking, the 49ers are playing the Dolphins this week, so I'm going to sit Marlon Mack and play Coleman and Breda. Yeah, I can see that. But let's say that you have, Tevin Coleman and Breda going against the Vikings or someone with a much better defense. In those situations, I would say, probably not going to put all my eggs in that basket. I'll probably play Marlon Mack and then kind of choose who I like better to hit a big time play and definitely flex one of those guys because you know they're going to get the touches.
Yeah, I'm comfortable. When you've got the league best rushing offense, I'm going to roll with them. So yeah, that covers our week 4 complete recap, Dan. Let's go ahead and talk about real or fake performances.
Sounds great.
If you've listened to the Not Takes Fantasy Football podcast before, you know just how much we love the Draft app. We continually do best ball drafts throughout the year, and during the season, we have a weekly segment called Getting Drafty on Draft that drops every Thursday. Now we are proud to announce our affiliation with the best fantasy app out there. We would greatly appreciate if you would support our show by using our new link, draft.com/nottakes. For those of you that don't already have a FanDuel or Draft account, signing up to Draft using that link gets you a free $3 entry to any contest of your choice after your initial deposit. We personally recommend a season-long best ball draft, and trust us, when you start, you're gonna be hooked. Once you get your account situated, come challenge myself or Dan on Draft. You can find me, Bob, on Draft at NotTakesBob. That's NotTakesBob. And you can find Dan at DJBenoit33. That's DJBenwa33. Once again, our link is draft.com/NotTakes. That's NotTakes. We can't wait to see you all get drafty on Draft with us. So yeah, we liked what we did last week, and I think this is going to be more of the tendency moving forward as we do the full recap and then do the real or fake review. So we're going to look at one player from each position. Some are good, some are bad performances from week four, and we're going to determine, is this something you could buy moving forward? So Dan, quarterback, Teddy Bridgewater, 26 for 34, 314 yards, 4 touchdowns, 1 interception. This is his first game over 200 passing yards since stepping in for Drew Brees. He should have a couple more weeks in that role. He's got 3 more games and then the bye. Does have an upcoming matchup though that you really trust him in? Does he have one? He gets Jacksonville, Chicago, and then Arizona. The Arizona one sticks out to me, but you know, there's some debate about the other two. So Dan, is this real from Teddy Bridgewater or is this phony baloney?
I'm going to say, oh man, that Teddy is so phony. I think this was a great matchup for the Saints. This also was a situation where Michael Thomas almost had 200 yards receiving. So I just think like this was the Tampa Bay. Okay, so the week before, Tampa Bay had a big-time shootout against the Rams. Now Tampa Bay has a shootout, but they didn't fire any shots because the only one who could get it going was Godwin. But I just don't think that I would not expect Teddy Bridgewater to come out and throw for over 300 yards and 4 touchdowns against Jacksonville. I just don't expect that. I could see a game like he had against the Rams or maybe even Dallas, you know, or maybe even Seattle. But yeah, that, and then I guess the Bears maybe a little bit more of a question mark, but again, the passing offense was not, defense was not bad. They just could not stop Jacobs. So again, Arizona, that's like a little bit of a better matchup. I like that one better. But I'm going to say this was a nice game from Teddy Bridgewater. But I don't necessarily think that you're going to get this Teddy Bridgewater week in, week out. He's not a everyday starter. If you were lucky enough to play him last week, he definitely paid off big time for you, though.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think you're definitely looking to play him against Arizona, but to me, he's better real life than fantasy, and that is only good news for allowing Drew Brees to get fully healthy for a playoff
run. Right.
So, I mean, real football, yeah, I'm buying into this guy. Fantasy football, yeah, I think you could find better pieces.
Like Gardner Minshew.
I was waiting for you to chew on that one, Dan.
You can just Minshew him right in your lineup.
So, yeah, we both think Teddy Bridgewater's a little phony baloney. How about Damian Williams, running back from the Kansas City Chiefs? 9 rushes, 23 yards, 3 receptions, 15 yards. Now, he did just come back from a few weeks off with a knee injury. He did lead the team with 9 rushing attempts, and there weren't any other running backs that even got an attempt. Mahomes had 3, Sherman had 1, Hardman had 1. I do find it a little bit weird that they didn't try to establish a run more with the game being close and Mahomes dealing with a bit of an ankle injury, but
right,
they do get Houston, Denver, and then Green Bay. So, Dan, is this just going to be the way it is with Damian Williams, or do you see better days ahead?
This one is very difficult because I want to like LeSean McCoy there, but that you heard Andy Reid come out. The news says that, well, LeSean McCoy didn't play because there were issues with pass protection. So if they don't, you know, they love to run the ball and they thrive off they play action. If there's not a way for them to have McCoy in there where he can play on passing downs and offer any kind of pass protection, then it is Damian Williams. So I'm going to say, oh gosh, if I've got a pick, and I know I've got to, I'm going to say that this is fake. I think Damian Williams will bounce back from this because all of a sudden now it appears that he might be the most reliable running back in Kansas City. But the Kansas City running game is very puzzling. It's like the Rubik's Cube of fantasy football right now. Good luck figuring that thing out. Because it's a coin flip. Like, who do you start? When do you start them? Because there's just no true number one there, in my opinion.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to be this bad, but I am going to say it's real just for the fact that they, in theory, could use three running backs at any one time. So unless if he's getting the high value touches, which he very well could, I just don't know what to think about it. So the fact that there's too many cooks in the kitchen, and with Tyreek Hill getting ready to come back, I think they're going to continue to lean on the passing game, provided that Mahomes is healthy. So it's not going to be this bad, but I do think this is the real...
It is quite the quandary, Bob.
Are you in like a wind tunnel right now, my friend?
No, sorry.
So let's move on to Tyler Boyd's our wide receiver that we're going to look at, real or fake. 14 targets, 10 receptions, 123 yards, one touchdown. He's received double-digit targets in every game outside of week four at Pittsburgh. He has been putting the catch totals up there, 8, 10, 6, 3, 10. But it's mostly the yards and definitely the touchdowns that we're missing. Now, we know the Cardinals are one of the best matchups for offenses as a whole, but to me, this one seemed like it was building and coming. Now, he does get Baltimore, who's been very vulnerable. He does get Jacksonville, and he does get the Rams, who have looked vulnerable. So is this the real Tyler Boyd, or is this fake?
I'm going to say it's real because it has to be, because there's no one else there to catch the ball.
I think that's the point. Yep.
I mean, John Ross is down. AJ Green is injured. And I don't think he's going to come back, frankly, to Cincinnati. As an AJ Green owner who picked him up late in drafts, I am praying and have my fingers crossed that some way, somehow, he ends up in New England this year for fantasy purposes. And you know what? You know, Pittsburgh, we're having a rough time, so we can deal with this as it comes. But I just don't think there's anyone else there for Dalton to throw the ball to. Eifert is underperformed. John Ross is hurt. Tyler Boyd has been the best receiver on that team. And I don't think Tyler Boyd's going anywhere. He's young. He's only a couple years in. I think this is his third year in the league, if I'm correct. And, you know, has shown his ability to kind of be a number one wide receiver who you can kind of revamp and build your team around. So if they're getting in, if they're in the process of a rebuild, I would not be surprised if AJ Green is jettisoned this year to someone who's a contender, because they're already saying he's not signing any extensions with Cincinnati. So I would expect them to avoid that headache, grab some draft picks, and continue the rebuild. So I think you're going to be able to count on Tyler Boyd to give you sustained fantasy production throughout the season.
Yeah.
There's no one else to give it to you from the Bengals.
Yeah, like I said, the catch totals are there, so the touchdowns are going to start coming. So I totally believe this is more of the real side of Tyler Boyd. So if you're in PPR leagues, you've been fine with him the whole time. Now if he starts putting the touchdowns in, you're fine with him in every sort of scoring format. So
for sure.
Yeah, and then the last one, Dan, is tight end Delanie Walker. Two targets, one reception, 10 yards. So this is back-to-back games with two targets and one reception. After starting the year on fire with two touchdowns, his production has been so, even in PPR leagues. Buffalo is a tough matchup, so it may be understandable. However, last week he put similar numbers up against the Falcons. He does get the Denver Broncos, the Chargers, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I'm not saying this just because I made an acquisition, because I could have just picked somebody off the waiver, but he's too good for this to be real, so I'm saying this is fake. I think Mariota, when he starts passing more reliably again and doesn't play defense like Buffalo, I still think Delanie Walker's is his best target.
I agree with you 100%. I think that this is fake. I think he will be back. And I expect him to be the most reliable pass catcher in Tennessee, because I don't have a great deal of confidence in any of the wide receivers there. But with the caveat that you don't know which Marcus Mariota you're going to have on the field at any time during the season.
Oh yeah, Mariota puts a cap on everything, but it's weird because in the previous years it was like Delanie Walker was the consistent guy.
Right.
So I think it's right. Just this matchup was brutal against the Bills, but yeah, I do expect him to get it going. Even if it's just back to the 5 for 60 type range, I'd be totally fine with that, but he's not going to be just a two target, one reception guy. He's just too good for that. So
For sure.
So yeah, that covers our real or fake segment, Dan. Let's go back and look at the week four scoring leaders now. So I'll read off the top five for each position. We have quarterback number one, Deshaun Watson, 61 fantasy points in our league of record. Two, Matt Ryan at 42. Three, Dak Prescott tied at 42. Four, Teddy Bridgewater, 39. And five, Russell Wilson with 37. Running backs, I mean, good God, there's some big games. Christian McCaffrey, 55. Aaron Jones, 49.5. Matt Breda, 36.5. Josh Jacobs, 32.5. Dalvin Cook and Philip Lindsay rounded out with 27. So you needed 27 just to even crack the top five. And reminder, guys, we offer bonuses for big plays, rushes over 50, if you get over the century mark. So if you're wondering, okay, how does Breda get 36.5? Well, his first touchdown run was an 83-yard touchdown. So you're pretty much at 22 right yep. there, pretty much.
That'll do it for you right there.
Wide receivers, Will Fuller with an insane 56. Two, Amari Cooper, 49.5. Three, Michael Thomas, 40.5. Four, there's that man-eating Chark at 37. And Adam Thielen, we sort of called this. I think everybody saw this one coming, the squeaky wheel. Piss poor defense against the Giants, 34.5. So you sort of saw that one coming. And for tight ends, here's where everybody got it right. Gerald Everett first, 21.5. George Kittle, 17. Darren Fells with 15. Zach Ertz, 13.5. And Jared Cook with 12. We all called that, right?
Oh, yeah, right down the line there, Bob.
So yeah, we're starting to get into buys. So just a reminder, week six, we got four teams, Buffalo, Chicago, Indy, and Oakland. So you got some big running backs that are going to be on buy. So you want to make sure you're prepared to navigate that. And Dan, the last thing, this is going to be a real quick preview because it's going to be an easy decision. But this Thursday night game, the Giants at the Patriots, basically start any and all Patriots and bench any and all Giants.
No, absolutely. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Patriots defense once again secures a 20-point performance. Because, I mean, who's playing? Who's playing from the Giants? Not only do they have a rookie quarterback, they're without their top two running backs. This is the third string guy. There's a chance Ingram is not playing, and Sterling Shepard is in the concussion protocol. So Golden Tate it is. But I would not be playing him because I expect this stout, amazingly stout New England defense to just go off. If you had the New England defense last week, they scorched you a boatload of points. I expected them to just do more of the same. It'll be interesting to see if the defense outscores any of the skill position players, because that's really the only thing that I'm curious about this week, is if the defense could be the top scoring fantasy producer in this game for the New England Patriots.
So, Dan, you have no confidence in, I believe it's Darius Slayton, to slay the New England Patriots?
That'd be a big negatory, good buddy. Negatory.
Yeah, I mean, I'm literally, I almost hope they just sit Evan Engram. They're not going to win this game. I want him to be right for the most fantasy friendly of defenses in week seven, aka the Arizona Cardinals. So,
right.
Please, New York, just sit him. I would gladly take a loss for this guy to get healthy and score 30 points against the Arizona Cardinals in week seven. But yeah, I mean, do we really need to give much more analysis on week five's Thursday game?
No
point. You know what to do.
Absolutely. You play all of the Patriots. That's what you do.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's just it still blows my mind how the schedule makers worked out. Now, granted, their division is cupcake to begin with, but I feel like every game has just been like, wow, this is just ridiculous that they're playing right. This team.
Yep.
So
I mean, and the Patriots have been just so solid. Like, I'm rolling out. I know Josh Gordon. I expected him to go off last week. Come on, Josh. Give me another Josh Gordon game here. This is the perfect opportunity.
Let's go, Flash.
That's right.
So, yeah, that's our now big time Tuesday review shows where we try to get a lot of it in there. I think it just flows better for us, for our schedule, and actually the content, I think, flows much better now that we have consistent talking points. I think this is the cadence we're going to keep moving forward. We might get on there on Sundays, but it seems like Tuesday seems to work for us. But Dan, if you're ready, I'm ready to close up the show.
Let's do it.
All right. Once again, you can always follow us on Twitter and Instagram at NotTakesFF. That's NotTakesFF, Twitter and Instagram. Every Sunday, we do sort of a Twitter assistance where we help set lineups, answer roster questions, trades, things of that nature. So look for us every Sunday. We've been getting some great interaction there. Feel free to email us, NotTakesFF@gmail.com, with any questions, comments, concerns you might have. Visit our podcast homepage, anchor.fm/NotTakesFF, anchor.fm/NotTakesFF. Shows everywhere our podcast is available, so it's got links to all the 12 platforms that we're on. You can listen to us there, and you can follow us there as well if you choose. Any platform that you listen to us on, please make sure to subscribe so you get the episodes as we drop them. For those that do listen on Apple Podcasts, please give us a minute of your day and give us a 5-star rating and review if you like what we do on the show. Those ratings and review really help us out, and it means a lot to us, so we appreciate it. And also remember to catch us on Clipcast. That's clipcast.app. Once again, you can search for specific players that you want to get news on. We're on there with a bunch of other fantasy podcasts so that you can get direct player news to the people and players that matter most to you. But Dan, why don't you go ahead and end it by shouting out your brother Tom.
Yeah, it's a song that's called Alma, ladies and gentlemen. It's been with us from the very beginning. If you like what he's doing, check it out. His SoundCloud. He's That Dude Tom. And big shout out to you, my man, my brother, for doing your thing and letting us use that for the Not Takes Fantasy Football podcast from the very, very beginning.
Yeah, Tom, thanks again for the great song. And Dan, we will talk on Thursday when we go over our rankings and get drafty on the draft app. I'm ready to go for 2 in a row, my friend.
Yeah, I really did not do well.
Little sneak peek for a conversation on Thursday, my friend. But until then, I will talk to you later.
Later.